Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action. Welcome, everybody. It's Diane. And today I have an amazing guest for you who I heard speak. And she just presented about who she was and her passion for her work. And I thought, oh my gosh, I have to have her on the show. She's a sustainability expert and really knows her stuff when it comes to technology and all things with the sustainability movement. And she has a book out called Green Wisdom, a guide for anyone to start, engage, and energize a sustainability team. And I think Green Wisdom is like the coolest name in the world because Nikki is the coolest person in the world. So Nikki Pava is with us today, and she lives in Costa Rica in the jungle. And she is a leader in the sustainability movement to help our Mother Earth, which brings tears to my eyes. I'm so happy. She was named in 2012 as one of the top 10 women in the clean tech and sustainability movement. So we're not talking about someone who just got up one day and decided to start recycling. This is much bigger than that, which is why you hear tears in my voice, because I'm so proud to know her and to have her on the show. So welcome, Nikki.
Well, thank you so much. That was so sweet. Thank you.
It's a very close subject to my heart, especially because I'm a water person. And here in Florida, we've had difficulties with big corporations destroying our water and our sea life, and plus things everywhere else. But that really touches me. So when I heard you speak about Green Wisdom and about you and your passion, I'm like, I have to have Nikki on the show. So I would like to start a little bit with you having an opportunity to share with us a little bit about who you are. Like, I know you were born on Earth Day, which is just really trippy cool. Anything else you'd like to say about yourself that kind of can give us all a flavor of who is this amazing woman?
Sure. That's a great question. That's so fun. It's so open-ended. It really can go anywhere. Well, you know, like you mentioned, I live in Costa Rica now after living in very close to the city center of Oakland for a few years, and before that, San Francisco. And I love the Bay Area. I love the city. But, you know, being so close to nature has really changed my life and changed my family's life. And just in the few years that we've lived here, I've really just seen even small little effects of climate change in terms of like little things about with erosion in you know, just around where we live and the water. There's a lot of conversation about the water. And, you know, I really resonate with your concern about what's going on with water, living so close to so much of it. And so it just, you know, having the awareness, I think knowing so much about what I do know about what's going on with the climate has really, sometimes I wish I didn't know so much because life would just be easier. But but knowing what I do know is like really sparking my, you know, just lighting a fire inside me to create awareness for people, for how people can live in a more healthy, sustainable way. And that's kind of been, that really has been a main drive in my life, a path in my life, creating new ways for people to creating awareness that they don't have to live in the same way that their grandparents lived. If their grandparents lived with, you know, a lot of factory food and chemicals a lot of the things that they're ingesting, you know, we can live in a more healthy, holistic way. And we just need people like you and me and a lot of colleagues of mine to just share their knowledge so that things are accessible to people. Because I think people just really need to have access to just more awareness that we can live more healthy. So that's a little bit about me. That's kind of like my desire is just to let people know that there are alternatives out there.
That's really great. You're like a
like a forebearer of the information. You're bringing in the torch to help people see and wake up kind of and come out of maybe the trance that all has to go in one direction, that progress doesn't mean going backwards. It means becoming more aware. So what prompted you to move to Costa Rica from the beautiful Bay Area? I mean, San Francisco and Berkeley and all that area is gorgeous. And so what prompted Costa Rica, which is also gorgeous, but I'm just kind of curious.
It is so beautiful up there. I feel so grateful to have had that time. I traveled a lot before I had children and started a family, and just really loved learning about other people and cultures and how people lived, and just really having my eyes open to how fortunate I am, and seeing how other people can live differently in the way that that I've been aware of. And so my husband and I, we always talked about, okay, well, in a few years after we have some kids and after we'll buy a house in the Bay Area, we will spend a month or a year and we'll, you know, go abroad and in a Spanish speaking country, because I really wanted our kids to learn Spanish. That was really important to me. I'm half Mexican. I didn't grow up speaking Spanish. I feel like it's a big missing in my life, because it's really hard to learn another language when you're much older and you have a lot going on and your brain stops you from just easily learning these types of things. So I really wanted the girls to learn that when they were younger. So Spanish speaking country. So we thought, okay, we're just going to go for a year. We'll go in a few years. And then I started to realize, wow, I'm not really sure where my kids are going to go to school in Oakland. And it was getting just so, I just felt like it was a pressure cooker in that area of the world. It was just getting really intense. The feeling that I was feeling in my body a lot was, just the like a weight on my chest. And I was like, wow, you know, I don't know how long we could live like this. And one day I said, hey, what do you think? Why don't we do our year abroad now while the kids are young? Because we have more, you know, they're not entrenched in schools and sports and best friends and missing things if we leave. Let's go now. And my husband said, okay, let's go. So a few months later, we just packed everything up and we did a lot of research to figure out a really good place to be with children. Not a place to go and vacation with children, because that's a totally different thing, but to go and raise and have family experiences. And drilled it down to Costa Rica, and we thought we were going to be here for a year or two, and we've just fallen in love with it. And so now we're here. We're here for indefinitely. Things can change. You know, life happens, and who knows where we'll be in a few years. I never thought 10 years ago that we would be growing bananas and papayas and mangoes in our yard. That was not even in my frame of reference 10 years ago. So I have no idea what things will be like in 10 years, but this is where we are now for the foreseeable future.
Oh, that is a great story. And I love how you just knew you had to go, and you went to a place that you knew you had to be. And so it opened up all those doors for you. And I think that quality is something that has gone to sleep in so many people over the last century or so. And I think people like you and myself and others, we're kind of the catalyst to help wake up the fact that there is another way to live by our inner guidance and follow where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. And that, so I relate to that a lot in my own life, because I'm kind of feeling that like, okay, time to move. I don't know where I'm going or what's going on necessarily, but I feel that inner movement. So when you're talking, I'm like, yeah, I know that feeling very well. So what got you interested? When did this all start, being interested in sustainability and the earth? And yes, you were born on Earth Day, but maybe you knew it when you were an infant, but how old were you when you started really paying attention to something's going on and this is my passion?
Yeah, I don't really remember how old I was. I mean, I was always more interested in serving the community, having my actions serve the community. I worked quite a while ago at a big bank, and it was definitely not a fit for me, although the team that I worked with was really beautiful, a lot of beautiful people. And a lot of the things that I did was, hey, let's have a brown bag lunch where we listen to Houston Smith his videos about religion and spirituality, and let's talk about them. You know, that's kind of what I brought into this corporate life, and, you know, raising money for nonprofit animal organizations when we had these big fundraising drives. You know, I was always in charge of that. So, and then I had a job where I traveled around the world interviewing the CEOs and the leaders, the main leader of some of the biggest corporations in the world. So I lived in Bangkok, Berlin, and Dubai. And, you know, we would get there and we would create lists of who we needed to talk to. And basically it was for a Japanese newspaper. And we were interviewing them, but we were also selling advertisements, which was a little hard on my heart. But it was also just a wonderful experience to be living in Berlin and being able to travel, you know, in my 20s. Like, that was pretty great. That was pretty great. So I had to kind of get over a little bit of a crisis of consciousness there. But there were so many times I would be the one doing the interviews and asking these CEOs questions about their business model and the products that they were putting out into the world and their value add for the business community. And I would always ask them about their corporate and social and environmental values or their initiatives. And there were so many blank stares. I would get so many blank stares or change of subjects, you know, when I asked these questions. And it kind of became a game for me, you know, after a few months of this, because I was like, no one is really seeing anything. I mean, this was before sustainability became really, really popular in business, or, you know, businesses became more aware that they needed to do this. And so I just was like, just flabbergasted by these responses that I was getting. They did it again and again. And finally, I just realized, wow, this is where change is going to happen. Businesses are really powerful. They change cultures. They change the habits and patterns of huge groups of people. And if they are not on top of this, then we are in a really bad state. So what can I do to help business get on the right path? You know, I mean, really, one of them, like one of the interviews I had where I asked this business leader, you know, we were in the Persian Gulf and it was a beautiful day and everything was just, you know, we had a good interview, but he just changed the subject full out, just changed it and just wanted nothing to do with my question. And so that was one of the epiphanies. I just realized this was the time.
Oh, that is great. I love that. That's a great awareness, because everybody was sleeping, especially back then, and corporations weren't taking responsibility. A lot still don't. There's a lot of change happening in the world, and to be one of the people in the beginning of the wave, so to speak, you know, it's always interesting because you can see the progress and you can see the fight back and you can just see it all from a different perspective once your eyes are opened. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fascinating. So tell us a little bit about your book, Green Wisdom. I think that title is amazing. Like, I love it.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about the book. The book is going to be out, and about, you know, who should get the book, who's it for. Tell us a little bit about it. I just love it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, it was supposed to be, the original intention was just, it was just going to be a little ebook. And then it just got bigger and bigger when I started to think about all of the content that I could put out there into the world. And I knew about so many companies that were doing really good things with their business model and the people inside of them who really cared. And so it just really, this project just started to grow. And so I just made a big list of all of, who are the companies, you know, a lot of B Corp companies, a lot of conscious companies. What are they doing with their teams, with their groups of people, whether or not these groups of people are volunteer or they were mandated by the corporate structure? What are these people doing to change the path, or not even if the business is already very sustainable, what are they doing to continue to grow and cultivate their initiatives to bring more people on board, to educate their employees? And, you know, educated employees bring this wisdom out into their home lives, and it creates a beautiful ripple effect. So I started interviewing the leaders of these the sustainability teams in the companies, and to try to find out what works for them, what have they had challenges with their teams and with their initiatives, what is really great, you know, what are the great ways that they engage with their communities to let them know that the company really cares. And so the book is it's about 10 chapters that just speaks to different business structures and business you know, issues and celebrations, really. And there's a lot of lists, a lot of frameworks, things that people it can take and replicate into their business. If they just don't know where to start and they want to create a sustainability team, there are a lot of tools in Green Wisdom that they can use in their own business and just flat out just use them. Or they can just tailor them to, because every company culture is different. And so they could replicate them and just tailor them to whatever works for them. So the people that would be reading this book would be human resource directors, you know, people, just really anyone who wants to start something in their company, whether it's a small company or medium-sized company. There are tools for everyone in the book.
Somebody like myself, where I run my own company and I have, you know, other adjunct people that work with me, but I'm really the person. Would that book be something for an entrepreneur to read, even if their team is, you know, not necessarily a corporate team, or is it more geared toward companies that have a lot of people on the payroll?
It's more geared toward smaller companies. So whether or not you're distributed, you probably have people in other places and stuff. I mean, there are definitely bits and pieces in Green Wisdom that would serve your company and the people living in different places, because, you know, collaborating on these initiatives, even if you're not in the same exact spot, is really helpful, and it creates a really good conversation that that can just impacts your customers, it impacts your community. I mean, maybe even if you're not in altogether in one place, you can create an initiative where you're working with people in the community on planting trees, for example. And maybe this is, like, you know, the Diane Allen team, but it's happening all over the world, wherever your people are, but you're creating this kind of collaboration and connection with the community. And there's little bullet lists in the book about how to make that happen with a community.
Oh, that's wonderful. That makes me even more excited for the book, because I'm always looking for ideas to, you know, reduce my own carbon footprint and have my business be one of those, you know, have visions applied. That's what we're for, visionary leaders. And you're definitely a visionary leader, mm-hmm. to, you know, be the visionaries and keep the ball going with new and more creative ideas, so that we all can be happier and all have hope and all be able to kind of be on the same page in a great way. So I can't wait to get the book.
Great. Thank you.
And so you're also a consultant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and Allegria is the name of your company, and I love Allegria. And so, in case the audience doesn't know what Allegria means, tell us a little bit about how you came up with that name, because it's brilliant.
Oh, thank you. Allegria means joy in Latin, and it means, I just want to bring joy to business, because I do think that people work better when they are feeling joyful. They're, and, you know, I would love to get into this in a while, but optimistic, you know, joy and optimism really go hand in hand. And when you are creating solutions to major problems in the world, coming from a place of joy is a much stronger way to think, to communicate with other people, to collaborate. So if I can put this into people's business models, that will make me happy. So I many, many years ago, I went to a Cirque du Soleil show in San Francisco, and it was called Allegria. And I just thought it was beautiful. The music was beautiful. The performance was out of this world, as they always are. And my heart was just open, and I just loved I just remember the song Allegria, and I was, when I'm ready to start a business, I want that word to be in the name. So when I was ready, that's I tapped back into that show that I had seen a few years before, and that was the inspiration.
Wow, that's wonderful. And then Alegria Partners was born. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love joy. So joy is one of my favorite things, and hope are, you know, big mm-hmm. for me. So do you ever struggle with procrastinating?
Oh, I do. Yes. Yes. I'm a master at cleaning things like little drawers that don't necessarily need to be cleaned, but all of a sudden they will be the number one priority in my life if I am trying to put off a big project. But, you know, but I also have a lot of wonderful tools from people that we both know and, you know, have in common that have helped me to get over procrastination. I think it's, I think that now that I have a lot less time, and my time is to focus on work types of projects is a lot more condensed than it used to be. So I feel like I'm a lot more efficient because there's definitely a fire inside me to to make things happen in a productive way. Right. So that I can be more present when I'm not working or I'm not, you know, focused on projects.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. You just reminded me of a phrase I heard that Stephen Covey, I believe, is credited with saying, and that is, it's easy to say no when there's a deeper yes burning within. And, you know, I like, the more I'm on fire with whatever my mission is, it's easy to say no to the distractions and the procrastination. But if there's this big expansive window of time or all of these unknowns, then procrastination can sneak in and get us. And pretty soon we're cleaning those little tiny drawers for no reason.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm a firm believer in having no's. You know, you don't need to, I'm not ever like, oh, I'm a yes to everything, because I think my no's make my yeses stronger.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes I've gone through phases of my life and it worked really well where I said yes to everything and allowed the universe to come up with the timing. So I would say yes to these great ideas because people bring me ideas all the time. Mm-hmm. And I would say yes to them. And I didn't know if it was going to happen or not, but I was open and willing. Uh-huh. And the universe took care of it. Like either they moved on or I moved on or something changed. And half the stuff never even happened. And I was willing and open. And so it was very interesting of a time. And then I'm like, now I'm more of a yes, no, or let's see how it goes. I've blended it all together now. Perfect. And I just kind of go with what my intuition says, because I think as visionaries, it's important for us to realize that we are tuned in on different levels sometimes and we're ahead of our time. You know, sometimes we have to wait.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, it's, you know, talking about waiting and being a visionary and not waiting and taking action, being a visionary, it just reminds me, I don't know if you're familiar with the young woman named Greta Thunberg, who's the climate activist in Europe. And she's really like, she is a 16-year-old visionary that is really getting people to act on climate and get people to be more motivated and more aware of what's going on. And so she's just getting so many children all over the world to say yes to being climate activists in a way that has not happened before in our history. So that's been inspiring to see this yes. You know, you're talking about, yes. You know, yes, you know, just she's really been an inspiration lately.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to have to look her up. That would inspire me too, I think. Mm-hmm. So another little question for you. Do you ever find yourself overthinking what you're doing, overthinking your ideas, anything like that?
Usually around 3 a.m, I am the queen of overthinking. No, I do. It is a mental conversation to take deep breaths and to not to just stop my overthinking, because I could take a long time to get something out into the world, like a blog post, Just little things, because I'm just tweaking and overthinking every little thing. So it does make me a little slower until all of a sudden I just realize, okay, you have to stop this because you're not, because it's actually making me feel like molasses. Like I am just going to molasses while I'm overthinking. And and then it messes with my self-esteem and confidence, because I'm not also making things happen in my life. Because when I'm taking action, and I'm, you know, of course when I'm relaxing, that's very inspiring. But when I'm taking action on the things that are really important to me, my heart is more open. I feel more happy. And so when I see the times where I'm overthinking and I am able to talk myself out of that downward spiral, that is golden.
That's great. I love, that's a great hint. Yeah, I love it. So now this is another question that's a little bit varied from the previous ones, but I'm just, you know, I love asking questions on my intuition. And since I'm using my intuition, it just popped in. If you could put a message on a billboard anywhere in the world for everyone to see, what would it say?
I was just at a climate rally here in San Jose, and it was one that was taking place all in cities all over the world. It's a global action. Children took the day off school, and I took a few children to San Jose for this. And my daughter made a sign on her own that said, "I'm with her." And it was a picture of the earth in the shape of a heart, and it had an arrow to it. And I just, and she did it all on her own, and I just love it. So your question, that's the first thing I thought of when you asked that question, because I just, because it was most recent and it feels most prevalent right now.
I'm with her. Oh, I love her. That.
Planet Earth.
Planet Earth, right? Our mother, right?
Right, our mother. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So what's your favorite food to eat?
My favorite food to eat right now is mangoes, because they're in season here and I just can't get enough of them. And I know that the organic mangoes that are falling on the trees outside won't be falling in a few weeks. So I just need to eat as many as I can, because then we won't have these delicious organic mangoes right outside.
Yes, I love mangoes too. You know, that's one of those trees I wish would just give us fruit all year, but it has to rest too. You know,
like, yeah, exactly. It has to rest. Those months are hard.
They don't understand. While the mango tree is resting, those of us who love mangoes fruit are like, come on.
I know.
So, yeah, you consult a lot with your work. Give everybody an idea of what kind of people you work with. Do you work virtually, or do we have to come to Costa Rica? What kinds of things can we look for from you, as far as if we wanted to work with you, or if I had a company or somebody's listening wants to contact you, what are the ways you work with them?
I do work virtually. For the most part, I work virtually. Anyone is welcome to come to Costa Rica. We can have meetings and get into your business. That's no problem. But what I do with companies is I help teams. You know, if there's one person in a company who has ideas and who has the motivation and drive, but they do not know exactly what to do and how to get started, and they need support, they would call me to help map out a plan, an action plan for a certain amount of time to get a team created, enrolled, get all the communications up and running, get the executives on board so that they have that type of support, financial support, and also logistical support that the company might need. And I help figure out the team's priorities. What works best for one team might not work best for another team. And so I will help them see what is most important, what's not important, what they can achieve in a certain amount of time, with a certain amount of money, with a specific amount of support. You know, so some companies might want to do more work in the community and create a whole program that helps them, connects them with nonprofit organizations in the community. So that might be something, or they might want to have more of a team program that based on employee health, because when employees are out sick, it's not as great for the company. But, you know, if they can help educate the employees about how to stay healthy and how to maintain good health, you know, it's better for everyone. Everyone's just happier. So there's, you know, so I help with a lot of different types of programs in the sustainability world to keep people and businesses healthy.
I'm sitting here listening to you speak and I'm thinking, this is great. Not only is Nikki this great visionary, but she's a great strategist and she can see the picture. And because you're a visionary, you can map out any different kind of request from just about any size company based on what it is they want to do and what resources they have and what they can do together. And that is a very unique skill and gift. That's not everybody can do that. And as a good friend of mine said, you can't read the label from inside the jar, right? So if you're in the company, you may not be able to see what all your options and opportunities are. And so contacting you or working with you would be a really good idea to begin to see and have the right critical questions being asked so that you can actually, you know, implement a plan you might have for your company. So it seems that if somebody has a great plan or an idea, that it would be a really great step to reach out to you and then say, well, what do you think about this idea? Or what do we do next, even to get those next steps, that you would be a really good resource for that.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yeah, and toward the end of the year, I plan to put, I will be putting out an online course for people who want to learn a lot about what is in the book and actually have a more of a collaborative conversation with me and with other people on how to implement it. Because there's so many great examples of what companies like Dr. Bronner's have done and Alaska Airlines and Genentech. You know, I really wanted to pull in companies from a lot of different industries to get different perspectives on what works not only for their teams, but their industries. And so, you know, Dr. Bronner's, you know, the sustainability manager, Darcy Scheiber Knowles, gave me so many concrete examples of what they've done at Dr. Bronner's to really instill green values, not only in their green team, but within all different parts of Dr. Bronner's. And, you know, she shared with me about what some people, you know, one person in one specific department spearheaded that ended up really having a ripple effect in the whole company and creating this huge change. And if, you know, if I can bring that type of information to people who are reading the book and in the course, or just, you know, having even conversations like I'm having with you, I'm, you know, my hope is that the business world changes and that the people in the business, in these businesses, will, you know, see that there's different ways of doing business. So yeah, there's so many great examples in the book. I don't know if you know Badger Balm. They make really great skincare products. Mm-hmm. They have an amazing sustainability team that does so many things, so many initiatives that I had never heard of, just these projects that really educate their employees that, you know, because all of that, shall we say love? I mean, all of that love is going into their products, right? That we're putting on our skin. So it's connected.
Everything affects everything, as Einstein said.
Everything affects everything. And you know, there's so many of the companies in Green Wisdom. I mean, every time I had an interview, I would just complete the interview and I would just feel so inspired and so grateful and so full of optimism that we are starting to get on the right track. Because if we don't have optimism, there's so much doom and gloom in the world. We see it every day. You know, we open our social media channels and we're seeing what's going on, with the reality of what's going on, because that's what's being served to us because of the way the media works. But if we let all of that really get under our skin and we are working from that type of emotion, that's not going to be as effective or joyful as working from a place of optimism and hope and joy. I'm totally going off on a tangent, but it's pretty fun. But
you're totally off on a tangent, but it's a very connected tangent, you know.
So I just feel like a lot of these people in these companies are really coming from a place of optimism, and it's rippling out into the world, because we do have the consumers have the power to use their, you know, use their money as votes. And if we can use the, if we can vote for the companies in green wisdom, all the better, because I'm so proud of them.
Oh, that's great. Green Wisdom is the book, and soon to be the course, written by Nikki Pava, who's in Costa Rica at Alegria Partners. And so my last question for you today is there anything that I didn't cover that your heart leads you to share with my community, if someone gets me, and the, your community now as well, that is on your heart that you would like to make sure you share?
Yeah, actually, I saw this quote that I had never seen before. I just saw it the other day, and I immediately thought of this podcast. I was like, oh, I'd like to share that on the podcast. And it kind of ties back to optimism and coming from a place of optimism, and you know, just so many people's desire now to change the way the business and the environment intersect. There's a lot more awareness, and there's a lot more people who care now, and we're much more aware of it. And I saw this quote, and it was really inspiring to me. So I'll just share it now. And it says it's by Thich Nhat Hanh. And he says, someone asked me, aren't you worried about the state of the world? I allowed myself to breathe. And then I said, what is most important is not to allow your anxiety about what happens in the world to fill your heart. If your heart is filled with anxiety, you will get sick and you will not be able to help. And I just thought that was really so true, to just to remember that we can get caught in the spiral of the doom and gloom of what's going on in the world with, you know, the climate catastrophe and human errors. But there are so many, just remember that there are so many people out there who really care and who are really collaborating with one another to create solutions that that will help us adapt as humans for our future. And so, yeah, that was just really, really fitting. And I just thought I'd share that with the podcast.
Oh, that, I am glad you shared that. That was a great quote. And Thich Nhat Hanh is an amazing, amazing person. So I think that that is a great way to send a message at the end of this interview. So everyone, you have been listening to Nikki Pava from Costa Rica of Alegria Partners. She has written the book Green Wisdom to help all of us with sustainability and having a life that moves forward in a healthy, amazing, joyful, optimistic way. So if you feel inclined, contact Nikki through her contact information that will be in the show notes, and let her know you heard her on the podcast and see how she can inspire you too, because just this conversation has inspired me. So thank you, Nikki, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And remember, everyone, keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you, because you are a rock star. You're here on purpose with a purpose. So just like you heard from Nikki, go out there and live your purpose like she's living hers, and you'll see this world will be more amazing every day. Until next time, be well.
Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit someonegetsme.com. Again, thanks for listening.